Hello and oh, I don't even have the juice to do that. Oh, damn, I'm beat. This is episode 27 of the SGR Monster Energy Drink Break. That's what I'm drinking. Here we go. See, Monster Energy. That's because
coffee's not going to do it for you.
I've been sucking on coffee grounds all day. Yesterday, I just grabbed a bag and like took a spoon and just shoveled them in. It was just like, this shit tastes terrible, but it's got me through the day. Yeah, some of you may know that we did not record last week, and that's because both Carrie and I went on vacation. Well, mine was kind of like a work vacation. Carrie, yours was more work than vacation. I don't know how these are. You know, this is what we did on our vacations. This should be more like on our working time off.
We were working in a more scenic environment.
Yes.
Than we are now, because you were camping in Colorado most of the time, and I was in beautiful San Diego, where it was too cold to go swimming.
You know what? I have something for you on that front. I'll just get into it. It was we were up in the Rockies when we went camping, and every morning we would wake up, it'd be like 38, 40 degrees, right? And our last day there, we're up at the top of this mountain. The wind is blowing to high hell. It was terrible. Like, it cut right through you. I basically we had a 4Runner, so I kept using the 4Runner to block the wind off the mountain. And some people may remember that I sliced my finger open like 3 weeks ago, and it's been numb. I've apparently severed a bunch of nerve endings there. But when I was up there, I was out for, I would come out from behind the truck, take a couple pictures, and in that amount of time, where that cut was at, all suddenly it started feeling like thousands of little needles just being shoved in there. It's like, oh, this is not fun. So we leave that, we drive back to Denver, and it goes from 40 to 100 in like 6 hours. And we got out of the car once to fill up, and it was like 50 degrees or something like that. So we filled up his truck, get to fucking Denver, and we all get out to start unloading because we picked up two guys along the way. So we stopped to drop them off, and we get out of the 4Runner, and it's like, holy shit, this is like I'm taking off clothes because I come down from the mountains, and then I drive home and it's 104. It's just like, I think I'll go back to the mountains.
That's kind of how I feel, because the high in San Diego, the hottest day was Saturday, the day that I left, when it got up to 75. And so then I come back here, and I do the too hot to handle 15K, and the starting time temperature was 85. I'm like, oh, fuck this. I want to go back. Because, I took my swimsuits and everything, so I was like, I'm going to have some time to go in the pool. It was too cold. It was too cold to go in the pool at night. It was, like, I wore a t-shirt and shorts and wished that I had wish I'd packed my hoodie in my bag every day. Because it was cold. And it was really funny because I did meet up with a couple of old combo people, and they live in San Francisco. So they were talking about how they're like, man, we wish that San Fran had weather like this. It's just so warm here. And I was like, I wish Dallas had weather like this. It's so cold here.
Remember, people, weather, it's all relative.
Yes. that is true.
So you went to San Diego Comic-Con. How was that? I mean, besides filled with body odor and a bunch of scantily clad women and...
Yes, a lot of scantily clad women. Although most of them were dressed according to their body type. I know that says I'm body shaming or whatever, but I'm sorry. Nobody wants to see men or women. I did see more men not dressing to their body type than women. I'm like, oh my God, I saw this guy who should not have, was wearing nothing but hot pants and suspenders. I'm like, oh, no, dude. No, 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 no. Although there were some amazing costumes. Like, there was this guy who really looked like a 1990s comic book Gambit.
Oh, nice.
It was pretty darn awesome. And this was like my first time I saw actual celebrities. there, because like when I did the Call of Duty's zombies presentation, I had a night appointment, and I got to as I was sitting in line, looked over, I was like, oh my God, it's Seth Green. And he was there with his wife and a bunch of friends, so I didn't want to go over, and talk to him because he's there with his friends. So I took a creeper photo instead.
Yeah, I saw that when I came back into town one night for dinner, and I was like, oh, Carrie.
So yes, he is adorably tiny. He is so short,
You know, at least you didn't have like a selfie stick where you were like, oh, yeah, check that out. Oh, there's Seth.
actually, selfie sticks were banned at Comic-Con.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, they banned they had they did ban selfie sticks inside the convention center itself. But Comic-Con has gotten so big that the con goes to several of the hotels surrounding the area, like the Disney Interactive pop-up shop that they had for Disney Infinity 3.0. That was 3 or 4 blocks away. But that's just how far the con goes because it's gotten so massive. And if anybody asks me again, did you ever go to anything in Hall H? Fuck no, I didn't. Let me try to explain Hall H. Hall H is where the big panels happen. That is where the infamous Star Wars panel happened. That's where, if there's any big celebrities, any big movie announcements, that all happens in Hall H. I had dinner with friends Friday night, and I was leaving their hotel about 9 to go back to mine, and I had to walk through the Hall H lineup area. And there was already people lined up for the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hall H is also, if you've been following all the hoopla, where all the movie trailers got leaked and Warner Brothers decided to be like complete idiots and were like, I can't believe you guys, blah, blah, blah. Can't believe that you would leak this out. So we're just going to go ahead and put out the full trailer for the Suicide Squad.
Whereas Marvel's response was, damn it, Hydra, which was kind of the best response that they could have had. But of course, people, I know they do say no photography, no videos in Hall H, but seriously, people do it. It happens.
And really, at this point, if you're going to try to provide something exclusive for the congoers, a trailer is not the thing that you do.
No.
What you can do is show them first, and then immediately after that panel, kick that fucking trailer out because one way or another, it's getting on the internet.
Right, which is actually what the gaming panels do when they have trailers. It was like I went to the Assassin's Creed Syndicate panel, which is where they showed their new the animated short that they did, which was directed by F. Gary Gray, who did he was the director for The Italian Job and Straight Outta Compton, and comic book artist Pop Man or Mon did all the art for it. So they showed it there, and then right as they finished it, my email alert went off, and I'd gotten an email from Ubisoft with the press release with the short animated movie, because they knew.
Well, yeah, but if you look at you can go to like Suicide Squad's Facebook page, and their very first thing is Warner Brothers condemning the people that leaked it out because that was supposed to be for SDCC people, and it's like, no, that's not what you provide SDCC people. You give them something else because a trailer is just going to come out unless you're going to make
Right.
everybody check their cell phones at the door, which would be a
Right.
nightmare. It's going to happen, so
And
just.
nobody would do. Nobody would do. People would be stuffing it down their clothes before they would turn over their cell
Oh
phone.
yeah, I mean, I really want Marvel to kick out the Deadpool one because the shitty recording that I saw looked, it was terrible, but it was also hilarious, and it just, it's like, come on, guys, it's time to, either step down as CEO or find somebody else to handle this because you guys are getting too old and just don't understand how things are working at this particular moment. So
Right.
you avoided Hall H, so you're not a.
I did avoid Hall H. I actually was not able to go to very many panels because the panels that I wanted to go to, I had meetings scheduled. So I didn't get to do very much that I guess that I wanted to do, but I had really good meetings.
I want my $50 back for that I paid you to pirate me some of those trailers, by the way. Depended
Oh.
on you to go in there and steal those.
Yeah, that was never going to happen. So I think then I did get a text message from a friend on Saturday as I was leaving lunch. Some other friends was like, "Hey, can you run by and get me some free posters. And I was like, first of all, it's Saturday, and I'm not going anywhere near that convention center today. And secondly, I just can't magically get you some free posters. And she's like, well, it seems like they're just giving them away at retail shops. People are putting them up on eBay. I was like, okay, that means I have to magically be by the retailer when they decide to give them away. And when they start giving them away, that's when the swarm happens.
Oh,
I mean, when I went to San Diego Comic-Con 3 years ago, I came back with two free t-shirts because I happened to be nearby. Like, literally, it was one of those things, like, I think it was Warner Brothers doing Man of Steel, and they're like, we're about to give away a free shirt. I was like, oh, hell. So I happened to be right there. So I walked right in to pick up my free Man of Steel shirt. But, you know, it's like I could just, no. Oh, maybe they'll be giving away free, no. I pretty much laughed at her. I was like, I don't mean to be rude, but yeah, no. And she's like, it really can't be that bad there. Like,
oh, it sounds a lot like
you have no idea until you go, but.
it sounds a lot like Gen Con, where there are certain retailers that have a limited amount of merchandise that they'll sell. Like, they're just releasing something at Gen Con, and so in order so that way they can sell it through all 4 days of that, they have a limited amount that they'll sell that day. So you have 40,000 geeks lined up at these. At like four entrance doors, and as soon as those doors open, it's like a mad rush of people just
Oh,
flocking
yeah.
in. You like when I was doing the art show, as soon as those doors opened, I was like, "Yeah, no, I'm getting out of the hallway because I'm clearly going to get trampled for a fucking game."
Well, a Comic-Con's the same way, and I can't fault the retailers for that because they're letting, people who can only get certain day passes, because otherwise everything would be sold out by like Thursday or even preview night. Now Hasbro, I will not submit to their fuckery. Because I had a friend who was like, I really want you to pick up the Star Wars figure, and I didn't realize it was from Hasbro. So I was like, oh, preview night. I got there. Preview night opened at 6, and I got there at 7, thanks to my plane delay and everything else. And I said, I was like, surely I'll be able to get a toy. It's only been open for an hour. I'll be able to get one. So and then I see it's at Hasbro. I'm like, fuck. I remember these guys were awful 3 years ago. So I went in, and I was like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Do you have a ticket? I was like, a ticket? Like, yes, you have to go upstairs and buy a ticket to get in line. And I was like, what? And they said, yeah, we only have so many tickets, and we were already sold out for today. And that was 1 hour into preview night. And preview night, only a very small portion of the public is allowed in on preview night. So I was like, okay. So I texted that friend. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not getting there at 7 a.m. to buy a ticket to maybe get you this toy. That is just not happening. And she's like, no, I totally understand. Now with Blizzard, I did go in their lines because I saw, where is it? I saw this toy.
Oh, wait, hang on. I bring up the video. Oh.
I saw this toy. I was like, okay, it's a little blue dragon. I kind of want it. So the line wasn't very long, so I got in, and I didn't realize he was a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. The one that they have unlimited of is a red one. So I saw that, so I got in line, and then I also saw this guy. It's Demonic Tyrael. I was like, well, I want that one too. And so I was in line. It wasn't a very long line. This was on Thursday. And so they came by, and they had so the Blizzard people came by, and they had like little menu, and they're like, do you want either of these exclusives? And I was like, well, I want the Blue Dragon. Like, okay, here's your ticket, because they had again a certain number they were selling that day. I was like, oh, what about the Demonic Tyrael? And they're like, we're sold out. I was like, completely? They said, oh no, just for today, but we'll be selling him again tomorrow morning at 9. I was like, well, damn it, I want that Tyrael. So my first appointment was at 9:30. I was like, that is plenty of time. The hall opens at 9. It's plenty of time. I should be able to be one of the first people in line. Shouldn't be that big of a problem. Okay. I got there at 9:15 because the line is just unbelievable to get in. 9:15, I get there, and there's already a 30-minute wait. But I got material, and because these things were just so darn cute.
Oh, wait.
Little Murlocs.
Oh, little Murlocs. Fucking
These were
Murlocs.
also San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. The multicolored. Murlocs. This is actually my first time to get like Comic-Con exclusives. I'd never done it before.
Yes.
And then I went over to different booths and got my rounded out my Flash collection. So I now have every single Flash Funko Pop except for the White Lantern Flash, which was a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive from 2 years ago. So I'm fairly certain that would cost me way more than I ever want to pay for this little hunk of plastic.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I did go buy Hot Toys. I saw they were there and looked at some of their awesome figures and then laughed at the prices and walked away.
Yeah, Hot Toys for small stuff starts at about $70 and they go all the way up to I think a grand. I think Raynor from StarCraft 2 is like $700 for Raynor. And he's like in his full battle outfit with his helmet, and like Hot Toys is great because you get different hands so you can do different poses, but the detail on them is crazy. It's ridiculous how good those things are. And
Yeah, I
it's
mean
also ridiculous how
they're absolutely beautiful, but I mean the ones I was looking at was $400 and $600. I
and you know what? I've paid $200 for one of their toys, so I know.
Yeah, I just I yeah.
It's
It,
crazy.
when I bought all my flashes, it was at this one retailer, and he and I were just chatting back and forth about stuff. I was like, "Yeah, now I finally have all my flashes except for the White Lantern." And he was like, "Oh, don't even try." I was like, "No worries." And I said, "I was really disappointed that I got into this collection so late because I missed out on getting Green Arrow. I don't mean CW's Broodfest Arrow. I mean the Green Arrow, the real Green Arrow, because he was one of the first editions to come out, and so they've sold out. And so the cheapest I've seen him is $300 on eBay." And he was like, "Oh, did you see that I have the rare metallic one over there?" I said, "No." He goes, "Don't buy it." I was like, "Why?" He goes, "It's $600 because he only made 200 of them."
I
And so then
see.
he pulls me aside. He said, "Never pay more than $50 for one of these." And I was like, "I would never. No." And he's like, "Hey, you're pretty awesome." So he gives me his card. He's like, "If you ever looking for a certain Funko Pop, you get a hold of me, and I'll make sure that you get it, and I'll even do free shipping." Like,
Holy shit.
okay, yeah. Like, oh,
And
I made a friend.
just so you know, the White Lantern Funko Pop starts at about $100 and then works its way up.
Yeah, see, I just can't pay that much for one of these little things. I mean, they're cute and all, but no.
But hey, it glows in the dark. It
Oh.
glows in the dark.
Yeah, that just makes it all worth it, doesn't it?
So, because you were there also to work, not just buy
Yep.
toys, what did you work on?
Well, I got to interview some really cool people. I like Greg Berger, the voice of Grimlock. From the 1980s cartoon and several other Grimlock iterations. He was there for Transformers Devastation. So I did play Transformers Devastation again because because it's awesome, but this time they had a time demo, so they didn't have to haul me off the machine. It
They
was a
have to
very
call
short
caveman
demo.
on you and just beat you over the
No.
head and drag you out by your hair.
No. So I got to interview him and the lead producer for the game, and it was really, really cool talking to both of them because we're talking about two hardcore Transformers fans, and I gotta transcribe the interview. But one cool thing that the producer said was that because they decided that they wanted to do this, and they wanted to do, the 1980s style, and so therefore they wanted it cel shaded. So they went to Platinum Games because they're like, because they do the best cel shaded technology. If you don't believe me, just go look at Wonderful 101. They do some they did some great things there, and even Bayonetta has some really awesome cel shaded effects. So they went there, and so they're like, "So we're thinking of doing this. Would you guys be interested?" And apparently the team went ballistic and started sending Activision photos of all the Transformers toys they have on their desks. So they picked the right people. So this is so in a way this is fans making a game for Transformers fans. And Greg Berger said that he, once again had so much fun, returning to this voice. The game is going to be great. I cannot wait for this thing to come out. See, I also got to play Tom Clancy's The Division. I missed it at E3 because I had a 2 hour appointment at Ubisoft that only got to see the only got to see For Honor and Assassin's Creed Syndicate. So I got to see the Division and I went into it going, "I'm gonna hate this," because it's some form of multiplayer, and they say it's MMORPG, but I'm like, I bet this is going to be like a deathmatch like everything else, and it's going to suck, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, I kind of really want this game. of course, I won't do it without friends, because you're supposed to do this, like, and you know, like a little guild. It's teams of three, and it really does require on you doing good communication, because it was really rough at first with us, because, you know, we don't know each other, but then when we finally started talking and coordinating our attacks, because the other teams kept going rogue and shooting at us, like, well, can't we all just work together and get along? No, no, we're all just going to shoot the hell out of each other for no reason. But, so I think that's coming out next year.
Yeah, so far.
2016. But, I mean, it looks great. It was a lot of fun to play. It's third person shooter. It's a cover based shooter as well. So it really does require to stay in cover, find your teammates, connect with your teammates, and the abilities are a lot of fun. Like for my particular character, I had a pet bomb. That's what I called it, a pet bomb, because like when you launched it, this bomb was like this little ball with little legs and would follow you around, and when an enemy was detected, it would just run off and find the enemy and go explode.
Good bomby. Good.
That's
bomby.
Right. Good bomb. You get a good boy treat if you weren't dead. So what else did I play? I also got my hands on Street Fighter V.
Oh yeah.
Which I have not played Street Fighter since either the NES or Super NES days.
SNES.
Okay, I couldn't remember because it wasn't mine. It was at a friend's house, and I think he wanted me to play against him because I think he wanted to work on his combos. So it was a long time ago. I did not have very much fun. I couldn't master the combos and everything. I kind of expected this one to have such a steep learning curve that this was made just for Street Fighter fans, but they have kind of overhauled the combat system. So everyone kind of went in new. On how to do this. So it was very accessible to those who had never played. And I have to say, like, it's really a lot of fun, and just the design, the look of the game is so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They took Street Fighter 4 and just kind of updated a little bit more. And or at least all the stuff that I've seen and I've watched, they've had the last two, like, fighting tournaments that I've watched, they've had exhibitions with it, and it just, it looks absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm actually looking at adding another fighting game to my repertoire, because that was far more fun than I thought it would be.
Nice.
Far more fun, far more accessible. Fighting games thing I'll never be great at, and I accept that, and I'm fine with it. I just don't have the time to dedicate to it, as so many people do. But what's really funny was that at the booth is that they did not have traditional controllers. They had fight sticks.
Yeah, probably I'm guessing the Mad Catz one, because Mad Catz is supposed to be kicking out a control fight stick here.
I didn't look at who made it, because I was just like, oh, shit, I've never used one of these. So that was interesting. But I think it's also 2016, so... Yep. Let's see, what else did I play? Oh, I did play Disney Infinity 3.0.
Your article just went up on Action Trip this
morning.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of on it. I mean, I never really played 2.0, and I'm thinking this is really for those who just love the Disney Infinity franchise and those who love Star Wars.
And Cube Blake.
Yeah. The controls to me were super sensitive, like to the point of frustration. Like, I put this in my preview, but like I constantly felt like I was in a Mario Ice level.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because, like, in, like, at the Battle of Hoth, when Luke's on foot and you have to take down the AT-AT, you have to climb up it and then jump onto this panel. And every time I jumped onto the panel, if I didn't jerk back on the right time, I would slide right off, climb back up again. I probably did it three or four times. And like, when I was flying the X-Wing through the trenches, I felt like I was drunk. I was just... Because, like, every time I would just tap it, it would swerve this way, and I go up and down, like, oh, my gosh, I do not like this. And, of course, I'm watching the producers, and, you know, they're all smooth and everything, so I'm guessing it's a learning curve. You just get used to the sensitivity. Maybe there's an option to turn it down. I'd try to look for one, but I don't know. Maybe my kid will like it, although I think he'll get frustrated with it because some of the, like when you have to do the tow hook cables to wrap it, you just, when you go around, you have to follow the directions to go left or right, and if you go too far, it'll snap, so you have to do it all over again. It took me about 5 tries to finally get one. Then once I had it, I was able to do it, but I could totally see my 7-year-old chucking the Wii U controller, getting too frustrated. But like he'll love the first pack because that's pretty much lightsaber focused, and so he'll have fun with that, just swinging around a big sword and throwing the force push and all that stuff. Even though problem that I had with that pack, which is that was called Twilight of the Republic, and it takes place in the Clone Wars era, because they figure that nobody wants to replay the first 3 Star Wars movies.
Again.
Yeah, so they did that, and then. So then Rise of the Republic, Rise Against the Empire is you replay episodes 4, 5, and 6. Because those are the ones people are going to replay, which makes sense. But so I'm playing in the Clone Wars, and I have my Admiral being fucking Cortana in my ear, constantly saying, "You need to go do this. You need to hurry up. Have you done this? We're waiting on you." I'm like, "Shut up!" And maybe kids will need that constant reminder of what to do. It drove me insane. And maybe you can turn him off too. I don't know, but oh. So I didn't. I mean, yeah, the figures look amazing. I will say that. Like, okay, like I kind of want that Obi-Wan. That's pretty cool. But that's kind of all I really got from it. I mean, Blake, since he loves Star Wars. He's planning on getting, the Rebel insignia on one shoulder and the Empire insignia on the other. And this may be right up his alley, but I'm just thinking that this was not meant for someone like me who's just kind of meh on the whole thing. I don't know, because I mean, I've played a little bit of Infinity 2.0 with my son, and even that I found boring. But he loves it. That's, all that, I guess that really matters.
So, favorite thing that you got to do, see, experience at SDCC?
Oh, let's see. Wow, so many things. Maybe all my selfie shots I took of the different voice actors. It was really cool meeting my very first voice acting cartoon love, which is Chris Sabat, who voices Vegeta. Dragon Ball Z was the very first anime I really got into. When I started to get into anime, and I was just obsessed with that character, so therefore became obsessed with him as a voice actor. He does several other things that I've seen him in, and all great. And just to be able to meet him in person, and tell him what a big fan I am, and talk to him for a little bit, and do a picture. And of course, then I saw the voice of Goku was there, so I ran over and talked to him. And I had a then I had a big overpriced drink, went to the bathroom, poured out the ice into the toilet and then pocketed the cup into my bag. It was a Dragon Ball cup. I kind of wanted to keep it.
I know I saw it on the selfie
Yeah.
or the handy, I should say. I
Yes.
no, let's not call that a handy either.
No, that just sounds
The
bad.
cup shot, the cup shot.
So that was pretty cool. And it was also pretty cool going to the Assassin's Creed experience that Ubisoft held, which is kind of like an American Ninja Warrior thing. For people where they run through this gauntlet and there's even a 25-foot leap of faith that they can jump off of,
Oh, snap.
which they're like, "Do you want to go do this?" I'm like, "Oh, fuck no!"
Did you jump into a giant ball pit? Because that'd be totally kick ass.
No, it's a giant air thingy. I have picture. I posted all the pictures on my Facebook of people jumping into that, and they have like a live show with like stunt actors who go and do that as well. Because the guy who was playing Jacob, he got up to the place where you're supposed to go run off, and then he climbed up to the very top because he's so badass. And he did an actual leap of faith, like the swan dive down, and then he flipped at the last second to land on his back, which
Oh,
was
that's
kind of
awesome.
really awesome.
Oh, that's
The thing
awesome.
he needed was hay, but then he would have died. So that would have been awful. But they had like the other stunt people doing like tuck flips and layouts and twists to go down. They're telling everybody else, "No, just jump and land on your back. Do not do anything."
Don't be show
But
off.
yeah, but so but I had an appointment there to kind of cover it, so I was taking photos, and so I got to go up to the press riser and kind of watch the whole thing. And then who happens to come up into the press riser? But but Paul Amos and Victoria Atkin, the voice actors of Jacob and Evie Fry. So I got to, take pictures with them. I was like, oh my God, I said, I'm going to be not professional here for a minute and just like, can I please get a picture with you? And they're like, they're the sweetest people. They're like, oh, of course. Like, we're here. Like, we understand press are fans. Like, we're fans of stuff too. And I got to see them. They did a head-to-head race because of the panel. Like, she challenged him to the race. And he was like, oh, okay. But Nolan Gold, who is Luke on Modern Family, I happened to be there when he was running through Assassin's Creed Experience.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Which he loved it, and he went and did the leap of faith and everything, and
That's awesome.
yeah. So
So,
that's
reverse
probably one
that.
of the best things.
The reverse of that. What was the
The
worst?
worst?
Other than the lines,
Other
'cause
than the lines. Well,
other than the lines.
that's kind
That's
of
a
a
given.
giveaway. Yeah.
That's like a given.
Oh, I know what it is.
Okay.
The worst thing was I was so the one of the reason why there was problems with the lines at San Diego Comic-Con and is because of their one of the rules that they have is that they do not clear out the rooms between panels.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so what happens is the reason why there's all these lines, this is what happens with Hall H, is that people get in the line for Hall H. They'll get in the line the night before for a panel they want to see at 7 the next day because they'll get in there at 9 a.m. and stay there all day. And so then the people, and so then when people leave because they've finally seen the panel, then they'll let other people in. That is why you have all these lines.
Oh, that's
If they
some.
would just refuse to let people line up until an hour before the panel started, then we wouldn't have this problem. But that's. This is what they do. So I was going to the Assassin's Creed Syndicate panel because I heard they were going to have a new trailer. I didn't realize it was this cool animation thing. So I went there, and just as I went up, I went and got in line. They're like already letting people in because people were leaving. So I got to go in and sit in on it was the Future of Marvel panel. And so they were talking about because Secret Wars is going on, which is going to wipe out the Marvel universe and basically start anew. Not completely anew, of course. Just they're gonna redo a lot of it. A lot of what you've already known is gonna be gone. Yada yada yada. So they were. So I was sitting there listening to that, and I was catching up on my emails, and of course my street passes. And then I heard someone ask the head. I think he was the producer. I don't remember. He was like basically a Marvel overseer of all these projects. And someone asked him about Wolverine. And he said that yes, Wolverine is returning in Old Man Logan. He said, but he's like, so, but this is not the original Wolverine. The original Wolverine is very much dead. He was killed in the Death of Wolverine series, which was like, it was the worst. It was,
It was the worst death I've seen yet.
it was lazy. As my
It's
friend
the
put
worst.
it was lazy even by Wolverine standards. But then he said, but don't worry, fans, there are plenty of Wolverines in the other universes for you to follow. And I'm like, fuck you, Marvel. Fuck you and your alternate universe shit. Which I know is what the Secret Wars is all about because you have these other universes colliding and fighting against each other.
Oh,
I was
that's
like, you get a
hilarious.
Wolverine! You get
You
a
get a
Wolverine!
Wolverine.
You all get Wolverines! But the original one is dead. And I was telling this to my roommate, Drew, about what they said. He goes, oh, so 616 is still alive? And I said, what? He goes, oh, you don't know the name of our universe? I went, no. He said, yes, the name of our universe, the original universe, is 616. I'm like, oh, God, fuck you, Marvel. So yes, 616 Wolverine is dead. He is not coming back yet. But there are apparently plenty of other Wolverines for you to get your bub on.
Well, you gotta think. If we're 616, that means there are 615
Shut
other
up.
Wolverines
Shut up. Just shut up.
beforehand. Oh, God, the trans-dimensional time shifts are gonna be crazy.
So what about Colorado? Did you do anything more besides just camping?
I went and so the trip started out as a friend of mine. He was taking he's shooting a wedding, and the bride is a very big fan of black and white photos. And my friend is like, I don't see in black and white, and you do. So I instantly thought of you. So, he gave me a little kickback, and so I drove out there to do the wedding.
Awesome.
We ended up working on his truck a little bit, getting that ready for the Colorado trails passes. So we did the wedding Thursday. It was, I can't believe how exhausting doing a wedding is. It's like 8 hours of just nonstop go, 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 go. So we did that. That was a lot of fun. The couple was really there. They were a younger couple. They were hilarious. The groom was like, "You're snarky. I like you." So a couple of his group, like one of his groomsmen, decided that he was going to try to photobomb all my photos. So
Oh, can I
I
stop you right there for a second?
go ahead.
I got a remote. Okay, so the best costume I saw was a guy. I did get a photo of him dressed up as a bomb, and it said "photo bomb." So every time people were taking pictures, he'd be up behind it. He'd jump in and be like this, like all behind, like all photo bombing in it.
Epic.
Yes. All right.
That's
So go
cool.
on.
So he kept trying to, get in all my photos and just do something stupid. So I would intentionally start aiming the camera in his direction, and then I would make sure that he saw me pan the camera just off, just a little bit away from him, so that way he knew he wasn't in any of the photos. So we had, it was a good time. And then of course, we had to get up fucking stupid early on Friday to we had to go pick up two other guys. And then go up into the mountains. So we the whole point of the camping trip, it started off as my friend and I, we were gonna t he just put in the lift kit, got some bigger tires, just got skid plates put on too. And we were gonna go up and see, test out how well his truck was gonna handle, because he's never been able to take some of the harder passes because we've always had to rent vehicles, and now he's actually owns one. So that's how the whole trip started out. And then we had two other guys that were like, "Oh, hey, we want to join. Oh, hey, let's go camping. Oh, this will be awesome. It'll be epic." So left Denver, got up in the mountains. When we arrived, like where we were thinking about camping the first night, there were ultra runners there. It
Okay.
was the hard, I think it's the Hard Rock 100. So it's 100, people do 100 miles, and they basically start off in one town, Ouray, and then end in Telluride. And it's 100 hours, 24 hours. There's a guy from Spain that did it in 23 and a half hours, and this is even after he got lost. But it was crazy because, we arrive and there are people just freaking, kind of jogging. Some of them are just walking, and we finally find our campsite, which wasn't an optimal campsite, but it was the best we could find before the light was totally gone. And so we get camp set up, and then we're just sitting there drinking beer and watching all these little headlamps move up along the side of a mountain. And you're just like, okay, these guys are nuts. Get up the next morning to go do a sunrise photo session, and sure shit, these people are still going. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning, and we're like, okay, yeah, let's just get some coffee and do this. And these people are like, oh yeah, let's go. Almost there. And you're just like, oh my God, you guys are insane.
Yeah, I don't get the ultra marathon thing.
So
I have no, I mean, why would you want to go do that? Go run for like 24 hours. I don't get it.
and this was up and down mountains, I mean, there are a couple thousand feet elevation gains and drops, and yeah, it was cold at night, so that their fucking muscles were hurting. And we get done doing our sunrise shoot, and we're all done. We're driving back down the mountain, and we keep stopping along the way because there's, you keep passing all these runners. We're like, "You guys doing all right?" And the biggest thing is, "Can I get some new feet? Can I get some new legs?" We're like, "Yeah, they sell them up there." Eventually, we finally got somebody that was like, "Oh yeah, we'll take some water and all this." So it was crazy. It was very interesting to see that. And then we went down, had breakfast, came back up, tore down our tent, tore down camp in the middle of a fucking rainstorm because it kept getting sunny and then it would rain. Then it was sunny and rainy, and that was ridiculous. And then we, after all that, we decided to take on Engineer Pass, which is like a out of a 10, it's like a 3 to 4-ish difficulty. And this would be something that would actually start testing the Forerunner with its lift and all that. It definitely wouldn't be something we would tackle with a rental. Anyway, so we start up on that, and right before we get there, there's a guy in an FJ Cruiser. They start going up. We start following them, and we notice that this guy keeps stopping and getting out and like looking at stuff, and he'd go up a little bit further. So we kept, I was like, we got to stay back just in case something happens and this guy rolls back or something. You don't want to be in the way because this is how accidents happen and people get hurt. So we would let him take off and go up for a little bit, and then we would tackle an obstacle. And we finally get up to this bend, and it's you do this nice big bend, and all of a sudden the road shrinks, and you have a rock, and you have a nice couple hundred foot drop.
Oh,
And
gosh.
I get up there, and the guy's like, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know. And I was like, well, you've been doing fine so far. He's like, I've never done this before. It's like, oh God.
Wow.
I was like, all right, so here's what we're going to do. So you're going to stay here. We're going to pull up around you. We're going to take on this obstacle. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to direct you through the obstacle, and we'll just kind of do this along the way. Of course, this adds a lot of time and stuff. And finally, we get up to another spot where you start getting up onto some like loose shale and stuff, and it starts becoming a little bit more technical in that area. And his wife, he's got his wife with him, and she's just like, no. No. So, we're sitting there, we're kind of discussing what's going on. We're letting other people come and go. And I finally, I was just like, do you just want me to turn your vehicle around here for you, and then you guys can head back down the mountain and you don't have to worry about it? And he's like, you do that? And I was like, yeah, as long as you're fine with me driving your FJ, we'll get it turned around and get you down. He's like, I would much rather you do it than me. And I was like, okay. So we got him all turned around and sent him and his wife back down the mountain. Hopefully they got a beer and a glass of wine and just kind of chilled out.
A shot.
A shot or a bottle, whichever.
IV.
Yeah. So we continue on up. To put this in perspective, the trail, the pass itself is it's like 4.5, 5 miles, I think. And it took us almost 6 hours, I believe, to do the entire thing. And of course, we did stop at a couple places to take some pictures. But the best one is that when you start off on Engineer Pass, if you start off on the Ouray side, there's a sign that says small wheelbase vehicles. So we're about, I don't know, halfway up it at this point. And we stopped, we pull over. My friend was like, hey, let's have a beer. And it's like, I probably shouldn't because I'm still doing all the spotting for my friend. So we're up there, he's having a beer, we're all emptying our bladders, peeing off the edge, trying to hit people. It's all great. And all of a sudden I hear the distinctive sound of a diesel. And I was like, is that a Jeep with a diesel? And like, well, what the fuck? You don't hear a diesel up here. Lo and behold, a Dodge Ram 2500, which is the same size as my truck, is crawling up this up Engineer Pass. And I was like, oh, okay. I need to stay here now so I can talk to this guy. So we're up on top of the hill, and you can look down, and you see this little dog. Like, the guy had a toolbox on the back of his truck, and you see this little dog running in and out of the back window, and then like runs up to the side and runs back in the window. And we're like, okay, this is like the cutest damn thing ever. So the guy finally makes it up to us, and I was like, how hard is it? And he goes, well, you got to just take it low and slow, and you'll be fine. Yeah, you're gonna scrape your skid plates, but other than that, you should be just fine. And I've never had a problem with it. I don't know why they have that stupid sign down there. It just takes a little bit of effort and some skill, and you'll be fine. I was like, okay. So they keep going on up, and then we finish that. We decide then that it's time to go find our campsite. So we, one of the guys in there had a little GPS unit, and he had looked at like Google Earth and followed the trail and was like, this looks like a good spot to camp. So we marked all these campsites, and we finally find one. It's right next to a creek. We're surrounded by pine trees. It was an absolutely gorgeous campsite. Right up until the point that we tried to have a fire, found out the wet wood there doesn't burn.
No.
We tried our damnedest to get that shit going, but all it would do was smolder. We couldn't get the fire hot enough in order to dry the wood out fast enough, and it just smolder. And then, as like I'm trying to go around, so we're kind of tucked into a little bit of pine trees with a creek running right here. And then over here, there's a small little stand of pine trees. So I'm going in there and I'm like, okay, well, this pine tree's dead. And then I look down and I was like, wow, this pine tree's missing some bark. Oh, that looks like claw marks. Oh, what do you know? Oh, that pine tree. We are camping in bears in a bear territory. And
Yeah.
these trees were just freshly marked. So
Time to go.
I go back to the camp and I have another beer and I was like, well, guys, I gotta tell you something. There's bear markings in that little pine tree stand over there, and they're fresh. And all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, well, this is fun. So one guy, he had a 9 mil, so he's like, if you hear me start yelling, you better duck because I'm shooting 3 feet above the ground. It's like, great, you're gonna shoot my beer gut. That's awesome. Fantastic. So then another the guy so I brought a bigger tent, so me and another guy were sharing the tent, and he's like, I'm gonna put the bear spray between us. So we go to bed and I'm laying there and
I don't
I'm
know if I could have slept.
oh I was tired because the night before it was so fucking cold I couldn't sleep. I got like an hour of sleep that first night.
I don't know if I could have slept. I would have been so afraid.
And the best part is that you really couldn't hear anything because the stream was so loud, right? And it just I was like, so I'm sitting there, I'm laying there, and I'm just like, okay, need to fall asleep, need to fall asleep. You're cold, okay, turn into a ball. Wait, your e-cig's in here. All right, you have berry juice in that. Shit, that's really sweet. I bet you the bear can smell that. Oh, well, it's on the side of the tent. Well, okay, you can either get up and just go put it in the truck, or you can stay here and be warm because you finally got your sleeping bag warmed up. Well, I guess if I die, at least I die in the Rockies. That's cool. And fell asleep.
I would have actually probably gone to sleep in the truck.
Oh yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, I was just like, whatever. At the
Because my husband would have been like, whatever, I have my gun, no big deal. But I would like, nope, I'm sleeping in the truck.
I and that was what the one guy was like. He's like, well, I got the gun. I was like, well, you have a gun, and not like the gun's gonna do you much good if the bear's already mauling you by the time you get there. And you can't really hear if the bear's coming at you because the stream is so loud. So either way, we're all gonna die. And there's that. And I confess that like I had my e-cig in the tent. And the one guy was like, yeah, if I would have known that, I would have made you get up and go put that in the truck. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't getting up and I wasn't gonna get out of there. And I was like, if I died, at least I died in the Rockies, and it would go after me first because I'm by where this is at, so it's all good.
You know, but you see, being eaten is like my top thing I never want to have happen to me.
The list of ways to die, that is not at the top.
Which we've had this discussion in our house lately with all the Jurassic Park movies we've seen.
How you're gonna die and how being eaten is not the way to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so then we get up on Sunday and head up back up Engineer Pass because we found a really good spot. It's called O Point apparently. And we got up there and did the sunrise thing, sunrise photos up there, which this is where it was really fucking cold and really goddamn windy. And then came back down, gathered up our stuff, came back home. So it was a really good time. It was also really exhausting because the way I equate is I can sleep an hour in a hotel room, which equals about 2.5 to 3 hours of sleep in a tent because it's just you sleep much better. So yeah, it was a good time overall. Came back with a lot of memories, got a lot of good photos.
Other than the fear of getting eaten.
You know what, even that didn't even stop me because I was just like, if I finally at that point it took all of about 3 minutes for me to just go, well, if I'm gonna get eaten, I'm gonna get eaten because I sure as hell am too lazy right at this point to get up and go put this in the damn truck. So fuck it. If I die, I die. And then I just listened to the stream and passed the fuck out. And I was totally knocked out at that point. And,
See, and then I like the stream just would have made me had to go pee.
oh, it was, yeah, it was so good.
See, this is just another reason why I won't go camping.
Oh, but one of the guy that I was there to shooting the wedding with, he's like, yeah, I got up at some point to go pee and I had my headlamp on and all of a sudden I noticed something in the water and it freaked me out only to realize that it was my light shining off the water. So, you know, when you come back and tell everybody that there's bears in the area and there's like fresh markings, apparently it really freaks everybody out. Because another guy was like, yeah, I got up to go pee at some point too. And I kept doing, I had the swivel thing going on, just making sure. It's like I was trying to pee as fast as I could while I made sure not to be attacked. It's just, oh, it was, yeah. It was a good time. It was a really good time. But yeah. And then if the other best,
Camping now with bears.
The other good part, an interesting fact, if you're driving from Nebraska into Colorado, if you're driving into Colorado, you'll notice that there's like maybe one, two cops the entire span of fucking Nebraska. All right. That's all I saw, two cops sitting on the, you know, watching the westbound traffic. The closer you got to Colorado, you started noticing there's a lot of fucking cops monitoring people on the eastbound side. And I was like, oh, that's, well, okay,
Oh, the
cool,
pot.
whatever. Yep. So I tell them, we're camping, and when we're camping, I was like, yeah, I noticed there's like all these fucking cops on the eastbound side. One of the guys goes, yeah, they like to pull people over to see if they're transporting pot. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, that does make a lot of sense. They just want to make sure that you're not transporting. So they'll actually pull you over and then, you know, try to search your vehicle. The other thing I noticed is that as I'm driving into like when I was going into Colorado, I noticed it was, I don't know, 10 miles in. Also, I go, I know that smell. That is not corn. Nope, that's not wheat. Why does it smell like a fucking smoke out up here? So, yeah. So as I'm coming back home, you know, I noticed, I don't know, like an hour into my drive in Colorado, I noticed that my right hand blinker had just burned out, and my left hand blinker had burned out a couple, like a couple days before I left. Anyway, so I had a spare bulb in the truck, and it's like, I got to the Colorado border. There's, you know, one of those welcome areas. I was like, yep, I'm pulling over right here, and I'm changing that bulb because I am not giving a cop any more reason to pull me over. And sure as shit, I'm I don't know, 50 miles into Nebraska, and all of a sudden there's this cop. I'm doing like five over. There's a cop sitting in the median. Next thing I know, he pulls out because I'm fucking rocking the Iowa license plate. He pulls out and gets right up on my ass. And I was like, okay, either you're just gonna pull me over or you're doing something else. I don't quite know, but usually when you guys do this, it means you're pulling me over. So I, you know, shimmied off into the right hand lane, and thankful that I had my blinker replaced. And yeah, he finally backed off. I was like, okay. Don't know what that was about, but cool. Glad he didn't pull
I
me
guess
over.
you wanted to see if you're going to panic.
Yeah. I didn't. I was just like, well,
Started dumping stuff out the
just get out of here.
window.
And yeah. The biggest observation I pulled away out of this whole trip was that I can change the taillight faster than McDonald's can get me my fucking food. And
Oh, well, that's not surprising.
I was like, all I kept thinking to myself as I sat there for like 20 minutes in McDonald's, all I could think of is you guys want $15 an hour and you can't even like get shit correct here. Because like in that 20 minutes, you see a lot of stuff, right? In a McDonald's, you would not believe how many times I screwed up orders and people were coming back and like you forgot this. And it's just like, oh, what a train wreck. But I made it home. Still trying to recover. Yesterday, I was like, Monday night when I got home, I was like, I'm turning off my alarm. I'm gonna let myself just sleep in till noon. It'll be glorious. 5 a.m. the next day, my body's like, let's go, we're ready. And I'm like, no, fuck you. No. So I tried it again today. Yeah, that didn't work out either. So maybe I'll take a nap.
Nap sounds good.
Nap
I
does.
could use a nap, but I got a review code yesterday for the PS4 version of The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, so gonna have to be working on that pretty soon.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Speaking of games, we are a podcast about stuff.
Stuff. Occasionally we talk about games and strategy guides and
So what
things
did
like
you
that.
play?
Well, you know what? I do have a strategy guide story about how I love, you know, I hauled my PS4 with me to Comic-Con so I could, you know, work on the strategy guide for Lego Jurassic World. I never once took my PS4 out, so I don't think I'm hauling that thing with me ever. This is the second time I've brought it with me on a con and never opened it. So, like, I'm kind of pissed that I brought it with me, just mainly because I was freaking out on the flight there because the flight was, once again, it was overbooked, and I was worried that they were going to have like all the overhead bins full. They're going to try to make me check it. Like, I'm not checking this because you cannot check this, and you cannot make me check this. So I was worried about that, but fortunately that never happened. But I did leave my guide in the hotel. Yeah, thankfully Drew, he stayed there through Sunday and he found it and he mailed it back to me because he is an awesome person.
Oh.
Yeah. But I did but I have played some more Jurassic World since I've been back. And I played Jurassic World on my Vita and I got like because the guide covers both the handheld. I was like, I know I swore I would never get another one of these handheld games because they've fucked them up so many times that, if I'm really going to do this guide justice, I probably should just at least check it out to see. It's awful. And I do have to say, Traveler's Tales, or TT Games, whatever the hell they're called now, has learned from their LEGO mistakes in the past. The one being, I was helping my son set up LEGO Jurassic World and noticed that the co-op, they have added an option for the split screen.
Oh, thank God.
You can do a fixed vertical split screen.
Thank effing God.
Yeah, so I don't know when this added, if this was brand new this time or if they had it in LEGO Batman 3. I don't know. I told this to Blake, but he said he was going to check his LEGO Marvel Heroes game and see if it had that option. So there is that. So there's one thing. I'm like, yes, Traveler's Games. Yay. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe I could play this game with my son again. Yeah, probably not. The other thing is for the Vita game, they have gone back to their original formula for the handheld games. It is no longer these tricky puzzles where you can die and have to do the whole thing over and all these races and things like that. They've gone back to making the handheld just kind of a trumped down version. Kind of a truncated, I guess you could say, version of the levels in Jurassic World. And they've done it really, 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 really well. They still put in the challenges part, that they have from the other handheld games, but they do it in a way that isn't as burdensome. The first one being that, you can die and come back. That's like the whole thing about the LEGO games. Like, no one wants to die and have to start all over. If you want to play that, go play the Mega Man Legacy Collection. I saw it at San Diego Comic-Con. I watched teenagers play it and watched them throw controllers. It was hilarious. Like, the first time they get hit by something, they're like, I got killed by touching something. I'm like, yeah, that's what happened back then. Just the reactions was priceless. I wish I had, if I was a Periscoper, I wish I had, taken some video of that because I was hysterical. But yeah, you play the LEGO games to kind of, have a little fun, relaxing moment, not to be stressed out over, trying to be able to maneuver these weird racing things. And because every time you run into something, you lose all your hearts and you die and you get to start all over. Oh, that's fun. I see kids loving that. So the Vita game's actually a lot of fun. So I'm playing that more at night instead of Mortal Kombat card game. Although I do still check in every now and then because I didn't play it all at Comic-Con, so I've lost my reward rank because I didn't check in every day. So I'm basically starting all over. But they now have a new Liu Kang card challenge, so I'm gonna try to get my Liu Kang card. Well, he's old man Liu Kang. He's like all white haired and shit. Like, oh, come on, let's have my like original one. But then the Division, Disney Infinity, all that other stuff. But I've already talked about that. So, what have you played? Did you play anything while you were gone?
Not while I was gone. This is because we had 2 weeks off, right? So I got to play
Yeah.
some stuff. play some more Destiny, obviously. Actually downloaded Drive Club, the PS Plus version. I'm on the fence on this one.
Yeah.
I don't, for some reason, I was expecting it to be an arcadey racer, and it's much more sim. So, I mean, it looks nice, it plays nice. I mean, it's a racing game, but I don't know if like as ex I don't know why it's just not clicking for me. I don't know if it's because like it's been delayed so long, and there's been all this hoopla behind it that I was kind of like, okay, well, this should be a decent game, and now they finally got their shit together. I honestly, I don't know. It's, I mean, looks nice. it plays okay. There's just nothing. There's no hook. There's nothing that's making me like, yeah, this was well worth the fucking year long wait. So I'm gonna play it a little bit more. I've only done a couple races, so I'm gonna play a couple more and just before I finally put the nail in the coffin and delete that. But I mean, that was like an insane amount of download because the game you download like a 5 gig file, then a 15 gig file, then a 20 gig file, and it's just like how many like the update file is. I think the 15 gig file was the update file,
They
the
might as well
application.
just scrapped it and started a
Right? I
new one.
mean, by it took like a full day for this fucking thing to download because there was so much shit coming. I was just like, oh God, okay, whatever. I also actually got to play Mortal Kombat X. I played this yesterday because, but when Predator was released last week, I mean, I was getting ready to go to Colorado, and they didn't have it on the store. Like, I couldn't actually go buy it for my, I had the combo pack, so I couldn't really get it. So Predator, I didn't get to play him before I left, so I got to play him yesterday, and I gotta say, he's a lot of fun. He feels a little overpowered, but his combo strings are a lot more technical than what you may what I was expecting. Because all of his moves are quick back forth and like triangle, square, and X gets you different things. And depending on which version you're playing, you get, you can either heal up and suspend people, which is more defensive. They have another one where you can shoot the laser beams, and some of those you can shoot them in different directions depending on which combo you put in or which button presses you put in. You got one where it shoots straight, or you can hold the X button on the PlayStation, and it will actually put a beam out, and you can start directing where you want it to go. I thought that was pretty. I was like, okay, that's awesome. And then he's got a little where he throws his spinny disc up into the air, and then it comes back down and targets. And I haven't really played the Warrior version because I don't like it's the Predator without his helmet. I was like, nah, he looks better with the helmet, so I'm gonna go with the one with the helmet. What I really liked is that one of his fatalities is the classic. If you watch the Predator way back in the day, he does the heat vision, and then you have the little triangle thing come down, and then he blows out your gut, and then your arm, and then your head. So, there's that. But I was just like, that's a nice little throwback to the movie. So I was just like, that's pretty awesome. And his he can go invis, and it's really it just he's a fun character. I'm really hoping that the overpoweredness that I'm kind of seeing, I know that he's still relatively new, so I haven't actually gotten to watch anybody more at a pro level, we'll say, at a better skill level than I am, actually play it. And I haven't watched any tournaments now that he's out yet to see if everybody's flocking to Predator and seeing if I'm right. But I also finally was able to download like the classic combo or classic fatality pack. Got a bunch of the classic costumes now, which is really weird seeing all the. Also, I'm having these flashbacks to all these characters from when I was playing. Like it's MK1 characters or the classic character, and I was just like, yeah, I know. I'm glad that we've kind of upped the ante what our costumes look like, because now we got that whole lazy thing going on right now, because you got like Reptile and just the green thing, and then Sub-Zero and it's just his little blue outfit, and Scorpion in his yellow outfit or orange, or just like, okay,
Whatever the hell it is.
whatever. I was just like, okay, yeah, that does really shine a light on just how lazy things got back in the day.
Lazy.
Lizzie. And the last game I started playing was Wolfenstein: The New Order, and I started playing this because I was able to get Wolfenstein: The New Order and The Old Blood for like $40 on the Xbox store. So I was just like, okay, fine, fuck it, I'll do it because I want to play both. And yeah, this game is just so good. I'm very much enjoying this game, like a lot more than I was expecting. They crafted a really good world. The story so far is it's like I was like, okay, this has actually got a fairly decent story. Okay, this is kind of cool. And so far, all the enemies I've encountered have been pretty fun. Definitely like the setting. Really digging the setting. That steampunky kind of, old world thing. So I don't. No, where am I? Like, I just got out of the hospital, I believe, and I'm working my way through the castle. No, I had like, no, yeah, I think that's where it is. I got to that little hospital place, and
It's dark, isn't it?
oh, it is like
Yeah.
crazy dark. And it makes me want to play it through again after, even after talking to you, because you know I chose to kill one per that part where you got to choose to kill the one person. I was like, and I like how they set that up too, because like you get a little attachment to the one to both characters before you have to choose one, and you're just kind of like, oh man, okay, so who do I kill? And then after hearing that, you get like different abilities, and it kind of changes things up a little bit. You know, it makes me want to go back through it again and kill the other person now, just to see
Well,
how.
yeah, because it totally changes some of the later scenes and which characters you meet later, as well as which upgrades you get.
So when you restart the game, do you start back at square one, or do you get to keep all the stuff that you've built up and then carry that over to your next playthrough?
Know, I don't know the answer to that because I haven't replayed.
Well, I will find out soon, hopefully. So, yeah, it's a yeah, I'm very much enjoying it. It was well worth the 15 hours it took to download that game, I think. Fucking Xbox.
Oh, Xbox One.
Oh,
So you
Xbox One.
haven't played any of the Old Blood yet.
Not yet. I will probably have to crank it out here soon, because we're gone this weekend as it is, and next week we're supposed to be doing the Book of the Month, so I will have to start it
Well,
over.
the cool thing is that from where you are in the new order, there will not be any spoilers for you. You're actually at, because like, because it is all of a prequel, and you, if you, what I recommend is that you play more of the New Order this week, and then next week play the Old Blood, so that you can get some more of what it's making fun of.
Okay. Well, I can do that. That's an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Cool.
Take us home, Carrie. Take us home.
God. I think I'm trying to get sick.
Enjoy our San Diego Comic-Con flu.
Yeah. Yeah, but at least this is like an actual sinus thing versus last time. Like I just ached all over and yeah, so I don't know. I can deal with this. All right, so anyway, leave us a comment here on this post if there's anything you specifically would like us to talk about. I know people have been wanting to for me to talk about the Final Fantasy Collector's Edition strategy guides, because yeah, yeah, but I don't have them. I haven't. I'm not sure I'm going to get them. I've been debating on that. So if I get them, maybe we'll make it. Well, maybe we'll make that a topic so I can actually like go through it and look at it. But anyway, but if there's anything else you would like us to talk about, leave a comment here. You can email me at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com. You can follow us at Chris is at Starvin. I am at Crunchy Chocobo. And the site is at Strategy Reviews. And of course, we ask that you keep on reading SGR. I just got a press release in my inbox about Metal Gear Solid Guide. So I'm going to be posting that here in a bit.
Beep,
Yeah. All right, with that, we shall catch you guys next time.